to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
We have Officer Joe with us. He's over there smiling like a Cheshire Cat. I don't know what he's up to.
Yeah, he's got probably something up his sleeve.
Oh, we've got a great guest today, folks.
Well, is that what you got up your sleeve?
Well, let's talk about our sponsor, Pape Machinery.
Nice job of helping me distract him, Officer Joe. I'm sorry, back to you, Bill.
Yeah, oh, thank you, Aaron. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer, and they right now have a full inventory of tractors, mowers, implements, you name it. Go up and see them. It's a good time to get a great deal on a new John Deere. So they're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or you can give them a call at 530-226-9226. They got some great financing, great products, parts, service. They do it all up there.
What about the employees? Let's talk about that.
Well, let's talk about that. Go ahead, Aaron.
I hear the guy that runs the place is kind of a goof off, but, you know, that's just what I heard.
You got to watch that guy.
You know, anyway, nothing runs like a deer. And, you know, when you go to the tractor drags, I always watch the John Deere's out there just killing the competition.
Yeah, you can't beat a deer. Nothing runs like a deer. Catch them on the web, papemachinery.com.
Can't say can't beat a deer. Makes it sound like we're doing some kind of weird show. On,
I made it weird, didn't I?
You made it weird. So let's see. In honor of my glasses, so I could see the computer, I could see all the people, I could see everything. Oh my God. Shasta Eye Group in Reading gets free advertisement of the week. Yay! And my my new best friend Courtney over there, she's the one who orders the glasses. There's somebody else in there too, but she wasn't there. Courtney's got all the jam. So Shasta Eye Group, Dr. Myers over there did my cataract surgery. That was tons of fun, but it's great now that it's all done, and I've got glasses. So you can find those guys at 3190 Churn Creek Road in Redding, California, or you could call them at 530-223-2500. They're really nice. They've got they do everything there. They check your eyes. They can operate on your eyes. You do your glasses. It's all in-house. And very organized and very reliable. So Shasta Eye Medical Group gets my free advertisement of the week.
Seal of approval.
There you go.
There you are.
Now I can see again. Hooray! So, moving on to our guest, David G. Evans, Esquire. I heard sound in the phone. He's like, oh, I better set up. He's the senior counsel for the Cannabis Industry Victims Educating Litigators. God, I had it almost to the end. Civil, C-I-V-E-L. They educate lawyers on how to make the marijuana industry accountable to their many victims. Mr. Evans was a plaintiff's litigator in personal injury and employment law cases. Attorneys who desire more information can contact Mr. Evans at seniorcounsel@civil.org, C-I-V-E-L.org. And before opening his law practice in 92, he was a research scientist in the Data Analysis and Epidemiology Services Unit, Division of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. Rolls right off your tongue there. It's just a small little department. And that was in the New Jersey Department of Health. He analyzed legal and regulatory requirements regarding drug and alcohol abuse, research and data collection, courts, criminal justice, domestic violence, drug-free workplaces, juveniles, confidentiality, treatment, drug testing, AIDS, drug use forecasting, and discrimination. So we have not really talked about the legal side of all of this, but I really hope you will pop onto the website. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us, and the date today is April 23rd, 2023. And I have a list there. I thought it was kind of an illuminating list. All recreational and medical marijuana products that are not approved by the FDA are sold in violation of federal law. Injured plaintiffs can make the following claims under federal or state law. And it's quite a lengthy list there. 8 big items. Environmental claims due to pollution caused by marijuana growing. I know it's the last one on the list, but I think that's one of the first ones for our area. So anyway, we'll switch over to Officer Joe and Dave, who have kind of mapped this out a little bit for us.
Well, first of all, I want to welcome Dave to the West Coast, and your voice is being heard all over the United States, Dave. I've had a lot of response to you coming, and people are very interested in civil liability. And I hope that you will discuss Freed versus Garland. that case, and we'll talk about President Trump and Cory Booker and how Merrick Garland had to respond to all this. So, Dave, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dave, tell me about your how did you get involved in marijuana litigation? What motivated you to do it?
Well, years ago, back in the 1980s, I chaired an American Bar Association committee on alcohol and drug law reform. And a couple of lawyers came to see me from a big Washington, D.C. law firm and said that they represented people who were using medical marijuana and that the government had allowed them to use it and that it was very helpful and that they were the victims of discrimination because Big Pharma and the government was against them and so on and so forth. So, and that marijuana was the only thing that could be helpful to them. So, my big mistake at that time was not asking, is there another side to this story? So, I got a resolution through the ABA House of Delegates in favor of medical marijuana. And I patted myself on the back. I thought, gee, I'm a real hero. I'm sticking up for the little guy against the man. So about a month or so after that, a couple of moms from the parents' anti-drug movement got me in a car alone with them.
Oops.
Headlock is applied.
Rabbit punch.
Yeah,
Rabbit punch.
And put me in the back seat and excoriated me for about an hour about what an idiot I'd been. So I've been trying to do penance ever since. This is the biggest professional mistake I ever made in my life, and that's saying something. So I got involved in the anti-marijuana movement. I've been working, you know, in the field of substance abuse and got involved in opposing marijuana legalization, and I'm still quite active in that. Over the years, I have become convinced that the government is not going to be helpful to us in this. They are too subject to corruption, too subject to the easy, facile arguments made by the marijuana folks. And the truth is we're outclassed by them. They just have more money than we do. The whole thing started with President Clinton. He allowed medical marijuana to become legal in California, and I think there was one other state. The main culprit, though, was President Bush, who came after. His administration virtually did nothing to stop this. And state after state became medical marijuana states. And then what happened is that the marijuana industry got a lot of money from selling medical marijuana, and they hired lobbyists. I think they have something like 80 lobbyists now in Washington, D.C., started getting into marijuana legalization, complete legalization. Now, 20 years ago, I told people this was coming, and everybody said, nah, it'll never happen. They'll never legalize marijuana. Nobody would be so stupid as to do that. But it's now happening. And they're winning largely because they just simply have more money. I live in North Carolina right now, and I was told by a senator in North Carolina that more money has been spent this year on lobbying to get medical marijuana passed than anything that he's ever seen in all his years in the North Carolina Senate. So they have arguments that are largely untrue. One of their big arguments is that there are all of these poor young minority men wasting away in prison for marijuana offenses. For personal use of marijuana, and it's just a lie. It's just an absolute lie. It's just not true. I've done the research on that. I've looked at sentencing for marijuana offenses, and I can't find anybody that's in prison for possession of a small amount of marijuana for personal use of marijuana. It just doesn't happen unless they got caught doing something else and they found some pot on it. But this is something that they tell people, and people, out of compassion, believe it, and you know, vote for it to help all these poor people that are in prison for marijuana, and they're just not there. The average amount of marijuana that somebody's in prison for in federal prison is 115 pounds. They're people that are marijuana traffickers, big marijuana traffickers. 115 pounds is a lot of marijuana. And blacks are not in prison for any marijuana trafficking offense any more than whites are in terms of percentage of their population. It's about 13%. They also convince people that marijuana is a good medicine. And they have people that come forward and say the marijuana was helpful to them. I have no doubt that you're going to feel better if you use marijuana. I used it in college from time to time, and I can't say that it harmed me. I can't say that it hurt me. I felt pretty good. But, you know, it just masks symptoms. And the other problem is that marijuana is harmful medically, very harmful. And the science is now just starting to catch up with, you know, the public relations of the marijuana industry. Let me give you some examples. Marijuana negatively interacts with a lot of prescription medications, particularly blood thinners. And it can cause all kinds of problems with these other medications. CBD is an example of that. It can cause cancer, testicular cancers linked with it. We've seen Senator John Fetterman, who is an acknowledged pothead. It causes strokes. It causes cardiac problems, causes lung problems. The science on that is now pretty robust. In particular, the science on it causing mental illness and psychosis. The marijuana of today is far different from the Woodstock weed that I smoked back in college. Today, it's a very, very potent drug. But the public has this false perception that marijuana is harmless, and that is what has impeded the lawsuits. Attorneys just don't think about marijuana as a cause of some of the problems that their clients are facing or their injuries. They don't think of marijuana when they see a child with a birth defect, and yet there's a connection. They don't see marijuana when a child is born below birth weight, and yet marijuana causes that. They don't look at marijuana sometimes with accidents, workplace injuries, domestic violence. A lot of these mass shooters are people that were chronic marijuana users. How do we know that? Well, we know that because we've done the research. We looked at the majority of the mass shooters over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years and looked at media reports that reported that they were marijuana users. And we put together a document showing that. For example, at Uvalde down in Texas, he was a marijuana user. His grandmother and mother were trying to get him off marijuana. He responded to that by shooting his grandmother in the face and then going in and shooting up the school. So anytime you see some really crazy, bizarre killing, look for marijuana. We do. And sometimes we are able to get toxicology reports. Other times we just look at, you know, what is put out in the media. But there's a clear connection with it. They found that veterans who are using marijuana for post-traumatic stress syndrome have a tendency to be more violent. And by the way, it is not helpful for post-traumatic stress syndrome. This is one of the things that the marijuana industry does. They get veterans to come forward to the legislatures and say that, you know, I've got post-traumatic stress syndrome and marijuana is the only thing that would help me. Well, I have no doubt that it masks their symptoms. I have no doubt that it makes them feel better, except that it causes mental illness, and the Veterans Administration says don't use it. It's going to make things worse for you. It's very difficult for somebody to respond to psychological treatment when their mind is messed up on marijuana. But yet, you've got vets that come forward and say that it's helpful to them, but science says that it's not. So the biggest impediment that we have is this perception or the lack of knowledge that people have that marijuana is harmful. And
I think all they have to do is look at John Fetterman. If it makes you wander aimlessly through the streets of Washington, D.C. in a hoodie thinking that you might be a senator. That's a cautionary tale right there.
We have to take a really quick break.
We have to come back. We'll be right back with our guest, Dave Evans. He's our hostage for the full 2 hour show. So don't worry, we'll learn more.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Is your marijuana killing you? A testing of 1,000 NorCal dispensary samples found the majority had toxic mold or substances harmful to humans. As a bud tender, recommended THC products for treatment of medical conditions while you get sicker or exacerbate mental health issues. Get professional medical help and sue the dispensaries for the product and advice liability. Marijuana is not medicine for most Americans, and there's no medicine that is smoked. Remember, let's be careful out there.
Supersonic man.
Dave requested that song.
No, wait,
he didn't. Oh, my gosh. We went on to Fetterman. Had a nice PSA there in the meantime. Thanks, Officer Joe, for that.
That was for Dave, and that it, we're going to start doing PSAs every week on marijuana to continue to educate our community. And when we bring on people like Dave, who are front line of bringing civil liability to the industry, Dave, all we need to do is get that first class action lawsuit across the finish line, and then California attorneys, you'll watch them fall out of the woodwork to start suing the dispensaries.
And I mean, not to bury the lead, but no real medicine is smoked. I mean, you should have just said that for the whole 30 seconds, just over and over with different accents or something, because, yeah, that's true. Here's your blood pressure medication. Oh, by the way, you smoke it. I mean, we would just laugh.
Well, and then
if our doctor told us that.
Your bud tender recommends marijuana when he has no clue of what medications you're on or what kind of interactions there is. Because they're trained professionals.
Yeah.
Not.
And they have zero medical.
Yeah. Right.
So no medication is smoked. I like that. So, sorry, we cut Dave off the knees when we were talking about marijuana causing John Fetterman to wander around Washington, D.C. in a hoodie thinking he's a senator.
It's not a cure for PTSD.
Yeah, and the Veterans Administration for a while, Dave, weren't they telling veterans that, weren't they recommending marijuana use?
No, they're not.
No, did they for a while, though? Was there a period of time?
I've not heard of that. It's possible. But if you go on the Veterans Administration PTSD website, you'll see that they very strongly recommend against it.
Oh, good.
What the problems are. And that they've had that position for a while, as far as I know.
Good.
Fetterman has got two problems. One, marijuana causes strokes. Number two, it causes cardiac problems. I believe he's got both of those right now. And I saw him the other day standing in front of a 420 marijuana flag as proudly as he could be. And I thought, you know, but that is sad. And he went to Walter Reed. I have a friend who was a veteran who was injured, who had been using marijuana, and he had to go get some surgery at the VA. And they told him he had to stop using the marijuana because they couldn't operate on him because it causes bleeding. And he had to get off the marijuana before he could get the surgery. Now, a lot of people that are using marijuana are not aware of that. They might be using blood thinners. They might be going in for surgery. And they're going to develop some physical problems because of it. The reason that we don't smoke any medicine is because everybody's lung capacity is different. And there's no way to titrate a proper dose. And so somebody's ability to inhale is different from somebody else. That's why we don't use it for medicine. So we need to start paying attention to the scientists who are telling us that marijuana is dangerous. As far as lawsuits go, we just were involved in filing a lawsuit in Michigan. The story is a sad one. A young man had Crohn's disease, which is an intestinal problem, and he got convinced that he should use medical marijuana. He became addicted to it, used a lot of it, high-potency marijuana. I bought it from several different pot stores, and his family realized that he was starting to become mentally ill because of it. And he became very depressed. He became irrational, you know, end-of-world sort of things. He got a gun, and you're not permitted under federal law to own a gun or purchase a gun if you're using marijuana. And his family said, look, you've got to do something about this. Come home. We will help you get off the marijuana. So instead of doing that, he went out in the woods and blew his brains out.
Yikes.
So we have a lawsuit, and by the way, that is not uncommon. I'll tell you about a couple of other cases, but we have a lawsuit that we just filed a couple weeks ago. Civil was involved in helping to get the lawyer, helping the lawyer to get up to snuff, educating the lawyer, drafting the complaint, and we're going to help with discovery. We've helped to locate expert witnesses to come in and testify. They're suing several dispensaries, plus the physician that recommended the marijuana to him. And we think we have a pretty good case. You know, there are no warnings, very few warnings about marijuana out there. The state governments have been very lax in this, and the marijuana industry flexes their economic and political muscle and stops warnings from being given. This just happened in California. We tried to get a good warning bill through there, and the marijuana industry wouldn't permit it to go through. There are some states that do issue warnings. California has issued a very good warning about pregnancy. New Jersey has the best warning about pregnancy. It lists all of the problems, including brain damage to the fetus, brain damage to the child, can result in future addiction, can result in behavioral problems once the child is born. They've got quite a laundry list that they've posted on their website. But still, New Jersey is thinking about putting in a regulation where they would say that any marijuana product with a THC level over 40%, and most edibles are way over 40%. They're up in the 85, 95% THC level. But they want to put it into regulation that anything over 40%, you have to be warned about because it can cause psychosis. So I wrote them a letter and I said, why is the New Jersey Department of Health allowing the sale of any product that can cause psychosis? I don't know any other product that is allowed to be sold where the Department of Health acknowledges that it causes psychosis. But that is the kind of the protective bubble that marijuana has. People don't think rationally about this. People that are regulators, scientists, and so forth, don't look at this the way that they should. Yeah. They haven't issued the regulation yet, but as soon as they do, they're going to have a problem with us. So we have this big problem, and there is a public perception that if you're against marijuana, that you're a prohibitionist, that you're a reefer madness kind of person. You're just not somebody who wants to have a good time. This is put forward by the marijuana industry. I have been called terrible things by them. But let's look at what the scientists have to say. People that don't have a dog in the fight in terms of the marijuana industry or promoting the marijuana industry. The World Health Organization says that marijuana causes addiction, damage to children, can damage pregnancy. The American Psychiatric Association said it causes mental illness. They have come up with a diagnosis of cannabis use disorder, which means that it's an addiction. National Institute on Drug Abuse says that it causes problems with pregnancy, mental illness, addiction, suicides. National Academy of Sciences looked at 10,000 studies on marijuana back in 2017, said that it causes lung damage, mental illness, addiction, car crashes, and low birth weight. The FDA has issued many warning letters on CBD because there are so many false medical claims about CBD, telling companies not to do this. The Health and Human Services, Department of Health and Human Services, said it causes brain damage and pregnancy problems. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists says if you're thinking about getting pregnant or you are pregnant, do not use marijuana. It can damage your children. Plus, it can damage the production of sperm in males. So these are all problems that we see. I have many people that have come to me who've lost children. The marijuana industry says the marijuana doesn't kill. That's baloney. It does kill. We had a young man in Baltimore who started using marijuana, came from a very good religious family, got into the marijuana, and a similar scenario that his parents said, come home, we want to help you, you got to get off this marijuana. So on his way home, he pulled his car over and walked out on the interstate and committed suicide, got run over. We had a young man in Texas whose father was a doctor, and got into marijuana. The dad got him into treatment. They did not treat him for marijuana addiction. He came home, shot himself in the head in the family living room, and died in his father's arms. We had a young man in Texas, another young man in Texas, that got into marijuana, and his family were trying to locate him. They believed that he'd become suicidal. They called the local police. They stopped and talked to him, and of course, he talked them out of it, and then he went and stood in front of a train. So these types of things are happening all over the country, but people are not associating them with marijuana. But marijuana has a strong connection with all of these. Cannabis hyperemesis syndrome, you're seeing a lot of that in Colorado and California right now. People are coming into the emergency room with what we call scromiting. They're screaming and vomiting at the same time. They take hot showers as a means of trying to make this go away. And it's caused by chronic marijuana use. And the doctors tell them that. They say, look, you know, your only problem is using marijuana. You stop using marijuana, this will go away. How do the marijuana users react? They say, you're crazy. You're a bad doctor. You don't know what you're talking about. A week later, they're back to the emergency room. So there's just this perception that marijuana is not harmful. But I have done research on the risks of marijuana use, and I'd like to just give you a laundry list of what I turned up. We have a booklet. If you go on the website of Americans Against Legalizing Marijuana, that's AALM.info. You can download the booklet, Risks of Marijuana Use. That's AALM.info. I went and looked at all the recent science regarding a number of medical conditions regarding marijuana. And I read every single study. There's hundreds of them. I read every single study that's in this booklet. And when I cited it, I gave you the URL so you can look it up yourself on the Internet. And you don't have to believe me. You can read the study yourself. But this is what I found. Tremendous risks to unborn children and their parents. Mental health risks, risk of suicide. Damage to your mental ability, your thought processes. John Fetterman is a prime example of that. Cardiac and lung damage. Cancer. They're using marijuana to help people who have cancer. You see a lot of these medical marijuana legalization laws say that if you have cancer, you can use medical marijuana. There are a lot of different kinds of cancer, which you use medical marijuana on, skin cancer or some other types of cancer, but it causes cancer. It causes testicular cancer in particular. But yet, if you have any kind of cancer, you can use it as much as you want. Risks of depression, again, John Fetterman is our poster child on that one. There are risks to brain development in children. You also run the risk of getting contaminated marijuana. You just heard a PSA on that. In the states that have regulated marijuana, the marijuana industry says, well, let's tax it and regulate it so that the black market, you know, people will be getting good quality marijuana. Well, I have to tell you that the states that are regulated still are full of contamination. The marijuana plant sucks up heavy metals from the soil. They use pesticides improperly. There's fungus. We had a situation in Massachusetts where there was mold on cannabis that was being sold to medical marijuana patients. They cleaned it off with hydrogen peroxide and sold it to the patients who are now going to be inhaling the contaminated marijuana and their hydrogen peroxide.
Wow.
The reason is that the state agencies do not have the resources or the willpower because of the political influence of the marijuana industry to go out there and actually check on these things. I think it was the state of Washington where only 3% of the dispensaries, and it's ludicrous to call them dispensaries as they had some kind of beneficial medical goal, were actually inspected. In Massachusetts, they got a law passed that they're leaving it up to the marijuana industry to regulate themselves. So you can see how well that's going to go. In North Carolina, they're doing the same thing. They're trying to get a medical marijuana bill passed, and there'll be an 11-member marijuana regulatory commission, the majority of whom are political appointees or people in the marijuana industry. So we have the foxes guarding the hen house at this point. They're very hesitant to do anything to fulfill their duty to the public. I know that parents in Colorado revolted about this and got some changes made. But you see what's happening in the state of New York right now. New York is a pretty well-regulated state. I used to live there. They got marijuana legalization through, and they said, gee, we've got the toughest law in the country now, and we're going to do great guns, and we're going to help all these minorities, these poor people that have been arrested. We're going to give them first shot at the marijuana stores. But they only put in a $250 fine for anybody illegally operating a marijuana store. So guess what's the problem in New York right now? You got thousands of illegal marijuana stores. I think they estimated there's something like 4,000 of them alone in New York City. They're just operating with impunity. Everybody says, hey, marijuana is legal now. And I just read a very interesting article. Somebody said everywhere you go in New York City now, you smell pot. People are, the store clerks are high, and it's just very, very disturbing. And they're doing really very little about it. They can't do much about it because they didn't put in a regulatory structure to do anything about this.
Dave, even coming back from Disney, where I was just on a vacation, and I can tell you, walking through Disney in Florida, smelled marijuana all the time. They regularly find it in the bag searches, and we do understand. And just so you know, we support Alm completely. We use their I've distributed their booklet.
Their printed materials are awesome.
We distribute to all our politicians here. And speaking about suicide, I truly do understand. My trainee JT was killed himself, cut his own throat after being addicted, 30-year deputy sheriff after being addicted to high-potency THC. We've got to take a break, and Aaron's going to take us there, and we're going to come back.
Yeah, there are a lot of bad stories, but you should include that. So you can find all of this information. We also have a page on the website that is up top called POT. I mean, it's titled POT. And on that page at wethepeopleradio.us, you can go there, find all of these resources. We just keep adding more and more and more resources and lists and things that are available for you to use. Groups, if you're a parent or you're a kid or you're dealing with somebody who's in, you know, using and you want to try to figure out how to help them, that's on there too. We've done programs on those things. So those resources are there for you. And oddly enough, Neil Diamond did a little song about pot. Neil Diamond.
Oh, he was a big pot.
So we'll be right back.
Actually, as much as I would like to deny the fact that pot was the beginning of my usage of drugs, I mean, it's there as a fact. It was the beginning of my using of drugs. It was the first thing I touched in the drug field. I was told it was innocent by everybody that surrounded me, people that I looked up to as intellectuals and smart people. And they told me there was nothing wrong with pot. You would never graduate from anything else. Now I can walk up the street here about a block and see these same people, as intellectual as I thought they were, using heroin. I can't see myself ever using it again.
La la la, pot, pot, give me some pot. Forget what you are, you can be what you're not. Hip, hip, you wanna be hip. You know it all if you don't take a trip. Pot, pot.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Is your marijuana killing you? A testing of 1,000 NorCal dispensary samples found the majority had toxic mold or substances harmful to humans. As a bud tender, recommended THC products for treatment of medical conditions while you get sicker or exacerbate mental health issues. Get professional medical help and sue the dispensaries for the product and advice liability. Marijuana is not medicine for most Americans, and there's no medicine that is smoked. Remember, let's be careful out there.
Weird science, electric and technology, dogs and chance, electricity will make it. Weird science, fantasy and microchips, shooting from the hip, something different will make it. Weird science, pictures from a magazine, diagrams and charts, mending broken hearts and make it. Weird science.
Yeah, everything they create isn't real. Bad part is it's showing up in our neighborhood. It's, you know, they told us it would be great. You know, we'd get tax dollars from it. And a lot of elected officials kind of bought into that. We'll regulate it. It'll be super safe. Safe hasn't really worked out.
When you have a small town mayor in Reading that's taken nearly $50,000 of cannabis money, I would tell you that that's probably a gateway to corruption. Now, one of the things that Dave has done, Aaron, that is absolutely outstanding, and one of the reasons that we support him, all the prevention folks here in California, is Dave has done a lot, all this research that we're hearing him tell us about today. He's prepared all this in what I would call background prepared lawsuits that can go to attorneys. And because I think attorneys are reticent to take on some of these cases. And I think Dave has really helped out the industry by doing all of this background work. Dave, could you tell us about this and how that works?
Well, I'm a litigator myself. And when I started really getting the message that the government wasn't going to do its job, I thought, well, who is as venal and as ruthless as the marijuana industry that would take them on? And I thought, well, I'm a personal injury lawyer. So I thought, I think my brothers and sisters, who are a pretty fearless bunch, could take them on. But they need to understand about it. And they need encouragement, and they need education, and they need help in setting it up. So we created Civil with the idea of helping litigators. So what we have done, we focused on several areas of liability. We have developed model court complaints. Now, just for those of you who are not familiar with litigation, it starts with a complaint you file in a court, and then you engage in discovery, which are written questions that are called interrogatories, and then depositions where you sit down with a witness in front of a court reporter and they take down, you know, your questions that you ask the person. So because attorneys were not familiar with this and they were not familiar with the science, what we did is we developed litigation kits. And we have several of them right now. We've got one for medical malpractice. We've got one for product liability. We've got one for drug dealer liability. We've got one for server liability and environmental. We have one that's aimed at California with your Proposition 65 marijuana laws, environmental laws. So what these kits do is, first of all, familiarize the attorney with the science. Let them know things that they see that are connected with marijuana. Some of the things that I didn't get to, for example, were pain management, poisoning. Actually, it can cause people with glaucoma to become blind. It increases autism scores. and you can actually have an allergic reaction to it. And CBD, which the marijuana industry touts as being this harmless medical miracle, if you look at Epidiolex, which is a FDA-approved form of CBD, a very pure form of it, it damages your liver. And you have to have your liver enzymes monitored if you use CBD. The marijuana industry is not telling people that. And people are using CBD like candy. And they may be damaging and hurting their livers. It can cause other problems, such as emotional and depression and suicidal ideation, none of which the marijuana industry is warning people about. So we start off by giving the attorney a model complaint. We have the permission of the plaintiffs in the Michigan case to use their complaint. Details the science. It details what the causes of action can be, and there's a number of causes of action: fraud, failure to warn, and so forth. Product liability claims. We then have developed interrogatory and deposition questions and discovery guides for lawyers, so they know what questions to ask. We have a vetting guide, so the attorney, when they're confronted with a client, will know what questions to ask the person about marijuana and about marijuana use. We have a discovery guide and questions you can ask the doctor that gave them marijuana or the marijuana store that gave them marijuana. We've provided all that. It's like a kit, so the attorney can just hit the ground running. We also help provide expert witnesses. We have a very good group of well-qualified physicians and scientific researchers that we offer the attorneys. Now, they have to pay the experts. We don't get involved in that. We just introduce them. And by the way, we do all this for free. We don't charge the clients anything. We don't charge the lawyers anything. We do it all for free. We are supported by some wealthy individuals who are concerned about youth drug use. There's no corporate money, no legal money, no, you know, pharmacological money coming into civil. It's all from donations from private individuals that are concerned. We're not an arm of the pharmaceutical industry or the alcohol beverage industry. We have none of that kind of money in here, nor would we take any money from them. We do it as a public service. What we did in Michigan, for example, is this woman contacted one of the marijuana victim groups, and there are some really good groups out there to help people that have had children that have been damaged by marijuana. There's Moms Strong, and this is on the Internet, Moms Strong. There's the Marijuana Victims Alliance. There's Parents Opposed to Pot. And there's other organizations. If you get our risks booklet, we have a list of all the organizations there that can be helpful to you. So she was referred to us, this mom was referred to us by one of these groups. I talked with her. We spent about a year getting a lawyer for her, talking to different lawyers, trying to, you know, educate them. We found one lawyer finally who was willing to listen, and we hooked him up with a professor from Harvard Medical School who educated him about marijuana, and he said, my God, I had no idea. Then we worked with him on developing the case against the dispensaries and drawing up the complaint and helping him with all the details and getting litigation started. So now it's been started, and we're very interested in publicizing it. We're about to start a lawsuit against the state of New York. They have issued marijuana regulations, the implementing statute that set up marijuana legalization requires that this be done with public health and safety in mind. And so we're going to use that against them and say, wait a minute, you didn't put any limits on THC. What are you doing? And you don't have any warnings. You're not warning people about marijuana. We've done the same thing with New Jersey, and they have improved because we had a lawsuit against the state of New Jersey. We have a lawsuit right now against a town in New Jersey that wanted to implement some marijuana ordinances because marijuana is now legal in Jersey. And we're using that as a test case. If we're successful there, we'll be able to maybe overturn a lot of things in New Jersey. So we're looking for plaintiffs. We're looking for lawyers that are interested. Some of the problems we've had with the cases are that people are reluctant. I know the doctor whose son committed suicide didn't want to sue another doctor. Sometimes people wait too long and the statute of limitations has passed, and it's too late to sue. So there have been some problems like that, or people don't recall, you know, where they got the marijuana from, the particular marijuana. There are some states that have a drug dealer liability act that anybody selling marijuana in that state can be sued whether they sold marijuana to the victim or not. There's about 15 states that have this law, and it's called market liability. If you are in the illegal market, and if you are selling marijuana in that state, and at the time that this person bought marijuana, even if the person bought it from somebody else, you can be sued for damages. That was a law that was pushed by Dan Bent, a former United States attorney. I don't believe it's in California, but it's in about 15 other states. So if you have a child that's been damaged by marijuana, you can sue anybody in the state that's selling marijuana, whether they sold it to the child or not.
That'll be a heads up.
Dave, so attorneys understand how expensive litigation is, and you sent out a very rudimentary list of the cost of litigation. And so
right.
For our listeners, because people, I constantly have people ask me, well, what's it going to cost me if I want to sue the marijuana industry? And can I go down your list with you, and you can just refresh my memory? So you said that just to file a case is a couple hundred dollars, and that's normal for a
right.
civil case. And then
right.
there's service on the defendant, so there's a cost for that. That's, you know, maybe a couple hundred to get a marshal or someone in civil process to do that. And then you got depositions, and you said that those would be $1,000 to $1,500 per day, and that's all normal. And then you got expert witness fees, and that's where it can get expensive, because those expert witnesses, you know, if you get Dr. Finn or you get Bertha Madras or these people that are really famous would be famous expert witnesses. They're expensive, and that's $5,000 to $20,000. And then there's the actual cost for a lawyer, and lawyers are, you know, $2,000 to $1,000 an hour. So, what if someone was a plaintiff? Because people ask me this all the time. What would they need to get started with a good case? First of all, obviously the attorney's got to advise them they have a good case and they've got a good chance of winning. But what kind of money up front would a plaintiff need to get a good case going?
Well, it's going to depend on the nature of the case. I mean, I've done personal injury work. I've done medical malpractice work. And I do mainly employment work, helping people that have been discriminated against in the workplace or had their contracts violated. Depending on the nature of the case, sometimes I take it on a contingent basis, which means that I don't charge any fee to the client and that I only get paid when we win or we settle the case. I have taken cases where I've spent personally up to $60,000 to see the case through because I thought that I was going to get my money back at the end, and I did. A lot of lawyers will take it on a contingent basis and pay all the expenses. Sometimes you can do a mixed thing where you pay some and the lawyer pays some. We try to keep the cost down by giving lawyers, a lot of the work in a lawsuit is drafting the complaint, drafting interrogatories, and doing depositions, figuring all that out. We help lawyers with that. We provide them with the questions. We provide model interrogatories to them. We provide model complaints to them, and legal research. We, you know, our litigation kits provide legal research saying, well, this is, you know, these are the things to think about in a duty to warn. These are things to think about in a product liability. Now, they have to be fairly general because we cover the whole United States. Some states have better laws than other states, but we try to just at least make the lawyers aware of the issues. So that cuts down on a lot of the attorney time because they don't have to figure all that stuff out. Particularly with a case like a suicide caused by marijuana, the damages, if they win, are going to be pretty high against the defendant. So a lot of lawyers would take that on. on a contingent basis. What we're trying to do is educate lawyers about this so that they will feel confident in taking on cases, you know, that they'll come to understand, gee, you know, you talk about Bertha Madras at Harvard. She's the one that talked to this attorney from Michigan. She had a conference with him on the phone.
And she was amazing. We had her on a couple weeks ago. Dave, we're going to hit the hard break with the news here, but we're going to come back and talk to you in the next hour. Dying to know just about how the stores, how people can go after those if they've got them proliferating their town. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Hey, look, Phil's still here.
Hey.
Go to the next. I was gonna go to work, but then I got high. Ooh, I just got a new promotion, but I got high. Now I'm selling dope, and I know why. Hey, because I got high. I was gonna go to court. Before I got high. I was gonna pay my child support.
Oh, Officer Joe made us play that.
Oh, you're Dave, terrible. I hope you're laughing. We gotta have a little bit of fun here.
There's so many funny shows, or funny songs about it. You feel like you're kind of glorifying it, but then there was this peer pressure that I felt, and I succumbed to the peer pressure. So you are into the second hour of We the People Radio. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us, and we have a tab at the top of the page that says pot. All the shows are on there, including this one from April 23rd, 2023, with our guest, Dave Evans. And we have a sponsor this hour.
Yes, we do.
You thought I forgot, didn't you?
No, I knew you were all over it. Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, and they've got everything you could possibly want when it comes to John Deere products, parts, sales, service. They got a great inventory right now. If you want to go up and talk to them, make a deal. They got some 0% financing going on. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or you can get them online on the interweb at papemachinery.com.
And with cool April nights, with all our hot rods, you should take a trip up there and take a look at those John Deere tractors, because they're polished even better than some of the hot rods are.
Yeah, they are. They're all shiny and ready to go.
Look at this. You're bucking for a promotion.
So Dave, I'm super interested. So when you fight the marijuana industry, which seems like it has endless amounts of cash and money, you're not finding any insurance companies that are backing up any of these dispensaries when you serve them as defendants, are you? Where are they getting their money to fight you?
Well,
John Fetterman.
They do have insurance problems, and I think California is looking to set up some kind of insurance plan for them. Okay. We sent a letter out to the general counsels of all of the major insurance companies in the United States. I think we sent out about 50 or 60 of them, warning them about the dangers of insuring marijuana dispensaries. So that's part of the problem. But I don't know the answer where they're getting insurance, if they have any at all. I'm not sure really how to answer that. It might be that they don't have insurance, or they've got a cash reserve, or they belong to an association, or they might be a big organization like Curaleaf, which has been able to get some insurance. But and maybe they haven't seen the need for insurance because they've been getting away with murder. Nobody has gone after them, and they don't perceive that they're in danger. They're going to start learning about that, though, because of the things that Civil is doing. I'm going to take that Risk of Marijuana booklet and send it to every marijuana dispensary in New Jersey where I'm licensed to practice law, and I'm going to tell them you've now been warned. And that if you do not warn your customers about the risk of marijuana, you're not going to be able to say that you're ignorant. We're not aware of it. So it's going to take time, just like it took time with tobacco and with the opiates. You know, there were a lot of lawsuits against the tobacco companies in the last couple of years, over 1,000 lawsuits against the opiate companies, mostly from state and local governments suing to recover the costs of opiate addiction. And the marijuana industry is following the playbook of the tobacco and the opiate. The opiate industry got a bill passed through Congress during the Obama administration reducing the ability of the DEA to go after the opiate companies. And it got a unanimous vote in Congress, unanimous. And the opiate company spent, about $12 million getting it through. And when that happened and when they started doing harm reduction and needle exchange programs, we said, and we warned quite loudly, you're going to have an opiate epidemic. And guess what? We were right. And they're doing the same thing that the tobacco companies did. There was a big racketeering lawsuit against the tobacco companies. And Judge Gladys Kessler wrote a 1,600-page opinion finding against the tobacco companies. And I looked at that opinion, and I took the word tobacco out and put the word marijuana in, and it was a perfect fit. Everything that the tobacco industry did that Judge Kessler found was wrong, the marijuana people are doing now. That was a RICO lawsuit. Now, you talked about what we can do about local communities. Well, here's something that we've done that's worked. People come to us. We've dealt with towns all over the United States. But I'll give you an example. We did one in New Jersey. People contacted us and said, we really don't want a marijuana store here, but our town council is enamored with marijuana. They think they're going to get tax money out of it. We think that a couple of the people on the town council are marijuana users. They're really for it. Okay. So, what I do is I write a letter to them, to the town council, apprising them of the legal problems with, getting involved with marijuana and the scientific issues about it. And this is news to a lot of them. I inform them that the FBI has a special unit, to investigate municipal corruption when it comes to cannabis approvals of local towns. That gets their attention. You see, the marijuana industry has not only been found to bribe people, but they do it in subtle ways. They say, well, we had one town in New Jersey that got offered $500,000, just a donation to the town to allow them to set up the marijuana stores there. They start to realize that there's some legal jeopardy. I prepared what's called the legal primer, which goes into all of the illegalities with marijuana trafficking. And I call it marijuana trafficking. I don't call it marijuana legalization or commercial marijuana. I call it trafficking because that's what it is. This is the cannabis cartel. And I tell them, look, if you're a landlord and you rent to a cannabis store, you can be prosecuted for that under federal law. You can be sued for it under federal law. And I go into all the, you know, if you're a doctor and you help somebody get marijuana, that can violate federal law. There's nothing wrong with you recommending marijuana. There's nothing wrong in terms of the law with you discussing it with a patient. But if you take concrete steps to help them get the marijuana, then you're involved in trafficking. So we do that, and then we work with a local group to educate them. So what we found is with a credible legal threat combined with local citizen action can often work very well. And in almost every situation when the people came to us, they said, look, we realize this is probably a pretty done deal. We're going to be up a real uphill battle. And I just laugh every time they say that to me because they say, no, that's not the case. We have stopped it in a lot of different municipalities using that approach. Now, one of the problems is that there are marijuana users on these town committees, and usually the person that's the most enthusiastic about marijuana is probably a user. We're suing a town in New Jersey right now. And again, I'm not going to make any defamatory statements about any particular individual, but one member of the town council, when I was testifying before them about why they shouldn't do this, gave me the finger. And this guy was a professor of political science at a university in New Jersey.
Wow.
I have that picture memorialized, Dave.
We got a picture of him doing it. We put it in the lawsuit, okay, because we said this was very symbolic of how the town was dealing with these complaints from their citizens. They're giving everybody the finger. So they would not relent. There was talk among the promoters of marijuana to use the name of this town to promote marijuana use. The name of the town is Highland Park. Highland Park. And they wanted to make it a hub of marijuana stores. Now, Highland Park is about a mile square, okay? It is near Rutgers University, which has thousands of kids who want to use marijuana. And they have approved six marijuana stores in a town that's about a mile square. Okay, that's an awful lot. Plus, they have approved consumption lounges that you can come to one of these places and get the pot there, get stoned, and go out on the streets. So they wouldn't give in, and so we started a lawsuit. And the lawsuit got thrown out of court by a judge who was not a litigator and who was appointed by Governor Murphy, the governor of New Jersey, who is a very strong pot advocate. And her throwing the lawsuit out was ridiculous. I mean, she violated every rule for looking at motions to file a motion to dismiss the complaint. This is a political hatchet job at us. So we're now up in the appellate division, and I'm expecting that the appellate division is going to thump her for this. But this is the kind of stuff we deal with. So you have to be very aggressive. And what I tell the townspeople is, don't give up, okay? Do not believe that it's a done deal. You can, if you keep advocating and you educate the town, people in the town about this, you can win this. And we've been mostly successful with that kind of approach. Now, the other thing you can do, this is where the credible legal threat comes in. Get a local lawyer and write them what I call is a RICO letter. Now, RICO is the racketeering influenced, organizations law, the federal racketeering law. Selling marijuana, growing marijuana is racketeering under federal law. Same thing as selling cocaine or heroin or anything else. It's racketeering. If you are involved in a conspiracy, sell, produce, distribute, grow marijuana, you are guilty of racketeering. No matter what your state law says, it's still illegal under federal law. And that is not going to change. Biden is not going to get legalization through the Congress. The Republicans are going to see to that. And then we'll see what happens if Biden gets elected or not. But what is your RICO lawsuit? What is the advantage, and why is it attractive to lawyers? Well, it's attractive to lawyers because you can get triple damages if you win, and you can get the attorney's fees paid. And you have to be damaged financially, though, by the racketeering. So some successful RICO lawsuits were up in Harvard Square in Boston. That's a very high-end neighborhood, and they wanted to put a marijuana store in there, and I believe a guy that owned several other stores sued them and said, no, you're gonna downgrade this high-end area, you're gonna, you know, cause damage to my business. I think he estimated it was gonna cost him about $26 million, something like that, and he sued him. And they filed a motion to dismiss for their state of claim. The court did not support the motion, allowed the lawsuit to go through, and at that point they settled. And I don't know what the settlement was because the lawyer couldn't tell me, but he said my client was very happy with the settlement. So, and what they did is they got an expert witness to come in to say that there was going to be damage to the value of all these other properties. there was a lawsuit out in Colorado where some people had land and they would ride and recreate on the land, but they didn't live on it. The jury actually ruled against them, I think, because of that. But it was a win for the RICO in the sense that the court said that this case can go forward, because if you have a marijuana facility next door to you and it damages your property, including the fact that it's an illegal activity next door to you, which can damage your property value, the lawsuit can go forward. The case did go to trial, and the jury, I think, just looked at it and said, look, you're riding horses there. Give me a break. Okay, you know, marijuana is legal in Colorado. It was probably maybe a pro-marijuana jury. But the principle was upheld by the court. There was another RICO lawsuit in Colorado where a marijuana store wanted to come next to a hotel. The hotel said, look, this is going to ruin our business. We don't want it here. They sued the marijuana store, and they sued everybody doing business with the marijuana store, including people that gave them supplies and so forth. And as a condition of getting out of the lawsuit, they made the suppliers and the people doing business with the marijuana store to stop doing business with them, and the marijuana store folded. So there's a lot of ways, but, you know, what we do is that we find out which marijuana stores want to come in there. They get a copy of the RICO letter. You know, these people are businessmen, and they look at this and think, this is becoming a hard target for me. I'm going to go someplace else. Someplace where people will not resist me. So we've been pretty successful with that. There's a lot of ways that you can sue. We're experimenting with that right now, particularly with this case in New Jersey against Highland Park. We've tried a number of legal theories that if the appellate division lets us go forward, I think we're going to be successful.
And Dave, up here in California, we're going to invite you to Weed California and let you come see the 10,000 illegal marijuana grows. And we're very interested in RICO there, which is the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. And that was brought about in 1972 to deal with the mafia. And we'd like to use it against the growers up there. And we're just trying to find a plaintiff with some money that would be interested in taking that on, and we are looking.
Well, the other thing you can do in California is you can file a lawsuit under Proposition 65. Right. Any citizen can do that.
That's the clean.
Boys, we're going to take a quick break here.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
Liam's being the fun killer. We're going to come right back.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Is your marijuana killing you? A testing of 1,000 NorCal dispensary samples found the majority had toxic mold or substances harmful to humans. As a bud tender, recommended THC products for treatment of medical conditions while you get sicker or exacerbate mental health issues. Get professional medical help and sue the dispensaries for the product and advice liability. Marijuana is not medicine for most Americans, and there's no medicine that is smoked. Remember, let's be careful out there.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out. Oh,
Oh, Dave, we're dancing in the studio to
the... Officer Joe turned into Gene Gene, the dancing machine, for all of you who remember the Gong Show. What a flashback. It does, but you know what? That does kind of make us all crazy, because the more you learn about this, the more people are like, oh, that's not
Yeah, but the more you learn about it, it's like, how
can you not know this?
Was this allowed to even get started? Mm-hmm. You know, and now it's completely out of control.
It's all about lying.
Yeah.
It's all about lying and false promotion, just like cigarettes. They're good for you. They're going to be great.
Money, money.
They're not addictive, blah, blah, blah. Nobody get hurt. So Dave, for all of us out here in the wide world that are dealing with, like, city councils that maybe have not put dope stores in their town but are thinking about it, do you have any, like, preemptive strike letters that you make available that people can give to their, you know, city officials or county officials and say, hey, look, this could be, you know, coming down the – here's a torpedo in the tube lined up for you?
Yes, we do have those types of materials. I'll tell you what we did in New Jersey when they passed what happened is that they couldn't get marijuana legalization through the legislature there. And we were effective at stopping it, but then it went to a ballot initiative, which passed, and then the legislature passed a bill to implement it. So what we did is we sued the state over the ballot initiative, basically saying they had lied and other things. Now, unfortunately, the people got to me too late, and the court did throw it out. Because it was filed beyond the statute of limitations for that particular type of lawsuit. However, we managed to drag it out for 7 months while they were supposed to be implementing this bill. And so we delayed the implementation for quite some time. And we took that time to reach out to all of the municipalities in New Jersey, as many as we could get to. And we got all the email addresses for the city councils and sent them information. And so when it came time to implement the law, 71% of the municipalities in New Jersey opted out and said, we don't want any part of this. So even in a case where a lawsuit is not successful, it can be successful in other ways. The other thing that happened is that when they came out with the regulations, because our lawsuit was all about violations of federal law, they put a warning saying that although this is legal in New Jersey, it violates federal law, and nothing about this New Jersey law can stop you from being prosecuted under federal law, and that there's a conflict with federal law, and we have to warn you about it. That was a direct result of our lawsuit. And we're now using that against Highland Park because there is a state law that says no ordinance can be contrary to federal law. And the pot people didn't see that ordinance when they got the thing passed. So there's a lot that can be do through litigation. You can educate people. The government is trying to do it, at least the federal government. Some of the agencies there are trying to do it. But, you know, tobacco was brought down, opiate was brought down by litigation, not by the government. There's a lot that you can do. It does take a lot of courage to do this, and, you know, people get depressed sometimes. I know we all give each other therapy when we think, oh, my God, I can't stand this anymore, and everybody talks each other into staying in the game. So that kind of thing can happen, but, you know, I stopped smoking because the tobacco pioneers saved my life. The people that worked for decades to stop people from smoking were the ones who saved my life. And I stopped smoking because of them, and I figure I owe them a debt. My wife is Dutch. Her sister's visiting now. We were down at a condo in Hilton Head, and she wasn't allowed to smoke there, which is not the case in Europe. And I suddenly realized how few people smoke nowadays compared to what happened years ago. But the tobacco people never gave up. They fought for decades. And, you know, the tobacco industry set up this tobacco institute to issue false science. They testified before Congress that nicotine was not addictive. You all saw that. I remember as a kid seeing advertisements that smoking helps you lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the Marlboro man dying of lung cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, right. So that's where we're at right now with marijuana. And the same thing with leaded gasoline, the same thing with opiates. There were people that had the courage to stand up in the face of overwhelming odds against them and over corporate greed and selfishness and stood up to protect the public health. And this is what we have to do now. This is now our time to do this. And I'm 75 years old. It may not happen in my lifetime, but if I can get a slew of lawsuits going and get the process started before I go, I'll feel pretty good about it.
Dave, let's talk about Freed versus Garland, because I know that that's near and dear to you. And tell us what it's all about, how it came about, what famous people came out last week and spoke out about marijuana. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, we have been we sent a petition to the U.S. Attorney General Garland, who is a political appointee, and we said, look, you got a problem with marijuana. It's causing violence. You know, why don't you enforce federal law? And we sent him our research document about the mass killers and marijuana, and we gave him a lot of information about the dangers of marijuana. We didn't hear a thing from him. Okay. So it turns out that there were some medical marijuana users in Florida. Medical marijuana is illegal in Florida, who wanted to get guns. And they joined with the Commissioner of Agriculture, who's very pro-pot in Florida, and started a federal lawsuit to be able, since they were medical marijuana users, to be able to get guns. Because you can't purchase a gun legally if you're a marijuana user. You can't purchase a gun legally if you use any controlled substance. Now, if you stop using it, then you could get a gun. But they wanted to be able to continue using medical marijuana. And the court said, no, sorry, guys. It's illegal. It violates federal law. You can't do that. Now, the thing that was surprising about this case was the brief that Merrick Garland's office submitted. And it listed scientific studies and everything about what all the problems were with marijuana users. That they were, not safe to own guns. They had problem in decision making. They weren't safe. I mean, they really... And after marijuana users, it stunned us. We never expected that from Biden's attorney general, but I guess he got the message. And that was one of the reasons the court found against him and said, yeah, you guys are dangerous. You're not getting guns. Now, we have been spreading the word, and President Trump spoke at the NRA, I guess, a few days ago, and brought up the fact that a lot of the shooting that's going on and the killings is connected with the genetically altered marijuana, which is what marijuana is today. Back when I smoked it, it was 2 or 3% THC. Now it's 85-95% for edibles and 30-40% for smoked. And so he's gotten the message. We gave a lot of information to the NRA. Perhaps they asked him to talk about this, but we gave our study to them and a bunch of other information about how marijuana use was connected with violence. So now we have a situation where Trump and a Republican and Merrick Garland, who is a Democrat, we have a bipartisan, at least, agreement on this particular issue. And that's how we phrased it. It was bipartisan. And we thanked the Attorney General for looking at the science. And their brief was full of the science. We thank him for doing that, and we hope that he would continue. Now, by the way, the feds are still prosecuting marijuana. The DEA has a marijuana, domestic marijuana eradication program, and in California alone, they've started a few thousand prosecutions and confiscated all kinds of plants, and they're doing it in a lot of states, even states where marijuana is legalized. So the federal government is not backed off on this. They have gone forward, and we're hoping that they'll do something to start correcting it. Now, all they have to do is do a couple of RICO prosecutions against some of these big marijuana companies like Curaleaf, and that's going to take care of a lot of the business. and then start going after. And that's what we recommended to them, that they target some of these big marijuana companies that are just blatantly violating federal law. And they know it. I spoke at a marijuana conference in San Francisco, a pro-marijuana, is a business marijuana, pro-marijuana business conference. And the MC, you know, introduced me, and he said, aren't you uncomfortable being in this room with so many people, you know, that are growing and selling marijuana? And I said, no, not at all. I do criminal defense work, and I'm very comfortable being in the presence of criminals. And they all laughed. They all laughed because they knew it was true.
So, Dave, for our listeners, 4473, which is the federal firearms form that people have to fill out when they get a gun, under
right.
subsection G, are you the unlawful user or addicted to marijuana or any depressant, stimulant, narcotic drug, or any other controlled substance? And then they put in a special warning. The use of or possession of marijuana remains unlawful under federal law, regardless of whether it's been legalized or decriminalized for medicinal or recreational purposes in the state where you reside.
Right.
So that was the nexus for the lawsuit. Am I correct?
Well, that is part of our lawsuit in Michigan, because he got a gun when he was, you know, chronically using marijuana, and the doctor never asked him. The doctor approved the marijuana without ever asking him, was he going to use a gun? No warning at all about this. And you talk about bud tenders at these marijuana stores. I mean, they did a research project. A university in Colorado went to all the dispensaries, and they had a woman say she was in her first trimester of pregnancy, and what would they recommend? Something like, I think, 66% recommended marijuana for a woman in her first trimester of pregnancy. And a lot of them recommended high-potency marijuana. Now, these are bud tenders,
wow.
people who are probably marijuana users themselves, recommending medical advice for pregnant women. This is what's going on in the United States. This
and we have 25% of our youth, our women ages 15 to 24 in California, are now using marijuana during their pregnancy, thereby
right.
stoning the unborn and creating all the problems that Dr. Stuart Reese told us about with, you know, we're going to start seeing those birth defects generations down, Dave.
Four generations.
It's really tragic. And somebody has to stand up for these women. Somebody has to do something about it. And California, by the way, has a very good warning to pregnant women about it, you know, not to use it. But the bud tenders aren't giving them the warnings. The American, ACOG, American Gynecological Obstetrical Association or group or whatever it is, has put out a very strong warning about it. But are gynecologists warning people about it? I don't know. Shouldn't these posters be on the doors of the marijuana stores and or handouts to doctors that are recommending medical marijuana? When you get a prescription drug, you get a package insert that has warnings on it. They're not doing that for medical marijuana.
When we come back, I'd like to start with the doctor recommendation things and where that falls in the legal framework, because that's where a lot of this, I realize in a lot of states, the recreational uses has been legalized, but it always starts with medical. And now California has a law where they're trying to force all the cities and towns that have prohibitions on any kind of delivery within their jurisdiction. Don't ask me how they're really going to prohibit people from delivering marijuana, but anyway. If they have a prohibition, they have to repeal that and allow delivery to medical patients. So I'd kind of like to look at the doctor part, because that's where that part starts, and that's where we all got walked into this thing. So you are listening to We the People. You can find everything about the show at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's all going to pop, whether we like it or not. Best I can tell, the world's gone to hell, and they're all in Lynchburg, Tennessee, just couldn't hit the spot. Got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, it's all going to pot. I got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, but it's all going to pot.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Is your marijuana killing you? A testing of 1,000 NorCal dispensary samples found the majority had toxic mold or substances harmful to humans. As a bud tender, recommended THC products for treatment of medical conditions while you get sicker or exacerbate mental health issues. Get professional medical help and sue the dispensaries for the product and advice liability. Marijuana is not medicine for most Americans, and there's no medicine that is smoked. Remember, let's be careful out there.
Might just be a little memory there for all of us with a misspent youth. I've read about it. It wasn't me, though.
Yeah, no, I never did it.
You didn't
like
misspend your youth? Mm-hmm. Officer Joe, were you always Officer Joe, even as a young boy?
I had a karate instructor who kicked my you-know-what, and so that just wasn't part of my life.
So you have
no
idea what these songs are about?
I do, because I grew up as a hippie in a hippie school. But I had a ponytail before I had a butch. So.
Wow. That's confusing.
So, back to Dave, and you had a question for Dave about...
I know, and the medical people. Okay, what about these guys, and why haven't they been sort of hung out to dry yet, Dave?
Because, Dave, isn't the AMA against this?
Yes, AMA is against legalization of medical marijuana. The FDA is against it. Most major medical organizations are against it because they know that it's a fraud. Let me tell you a little story about a medical marijuana doctor. I was living in New York, and I'm a cancer survivor and had a spinal cord injury from a car crash. And there was a doctor in a nearby town who had a storefront, and it looked pretty sleazy. So I put in a digital recorder in my pocket, turned it on, walked in, and said that I wanted to talk to the doctor about medical marijuana. So I sat down in his office. He walked in and he said, "Okay, well, we're going to get you a card." Didn't even ask me any questions. He was going to give me the card just because I was there. And I told him I had a history of cancer and spinal cord injury. I had all my medical records. I never told him a lie throughout the whole process. He was going to give me a card for the cancer. Didn't ask me if I was currently being treated for cancer. Didn't ask me if I had chemotherapy. Nothing. And under New York law, he had to have another condition like PTSD in order to give it. And he said, "Well, I'm going to put down PTSD for you." And I said, "Well, I don't have PTSD." And he said, "Well, was having cancer stressful?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Okay, I'm going to put down PTSD." Now, he signed a statement for me to get it. This was a sworn affidavit that he signed. And he gave me a card to get a discount at the local pot store. Never asked me about my medical records, never examined me, nothing. I think they took my blood pressure. That was about it. So I go to the pot store and I say, "Dr. So-and-so gave me this recommendation, and he said I had PTSD, but I don't have PTSD. He said, don't worry about that. You know, we give that to everybody. We had a mom come in here the other day who was upset about her kids. We gave her PTSD thing. I got all this on tape. I had it recorded. This is very typical of what's going on. Okay, this is not unusual. You live in California, Venice Beach, you know, they had storefronts. These are, you know, I think one California doctor did something like 2,000 of these in a year. A very small percentage of doctors are running these through, like, pill mills. This particular doctor had been charged with drug driving about a year before I came in to see him. They're getting away with it. They're getting away with it because they haven't been sued for malpractice yet because of all the factors that we talked about. And there is the greed factor. And there is political threats. The senator that's trying to get medical marijuana passed in North Carolina is in a position of power, then nobody can get a bill passed without his consent. And so the state medical society is remaining quiet because they want to get their bills through. Law enforcement in North Carolina has not spoken out against it for the very same reason. They're afraid of the senator. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. And you have this kind of junk science. One of the things that we do is we ask doctors a series of questions about marijuana. For example, dosing. There is no medical qualified dose for marijuana like there is with any other drug. There's no time of dose. There's no interaction with other medications. There's no foods that they warn you about that you shouldn't eat. They don't do it on the basis of body size, age, or sex, all of which are factors and method of administration that come in with the administration of any other medicine. And, you know, one of the things we say is, what is the dosage for this? You want it for medical marijuana? What is the dosage for cancer? Please tell us. It doesn't exist. And if you look at the studies that they use and you ask questions about those studies, everything begins to fall apart. But nobody is asking those questions because the marijuana industry is very smart. They get people to come in and say, my child used this. There was a woman, Angel Raich, who was a big promoter of medical marijuana, took a case to the Supreme Court on this, would get up in front of the media and start crying that marijuana was the only thing keeping her alive. The only way she could be a mother to her children was from marijuana. Well, we did some research on her. We hired a private detective. It turns out that Angel Raich, I think, is about the fourth name that she's used. She's used her medical conditions in other litigation. In one litigation, she was diagnosed by a doctor as having a somatoform disorder. And we didn't know what that was. We looked it up. It's the modern term for a hypochondriac. And she did have a brain tumor. It's true. She did have a brain tumor. But according to a medical report that we looked at, it was a benign tumor. It wasn't going to kill her. She's probably still dying from it 15 years later. But, you know, she got up and said, I have this brain tumor and marijuana. And people just believe it. We had a guy in a medical marijuana demonstration in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, a guy sitting in a wheelchair, poor debilitated man in a wheelchair. The demonstration gets over with. We had a photographer there. Everybody leaves. The guy gets up and walks away from the wheelchair. So this is the kind of stuff that's going on. And doctors go along with it because they figure, well, maybe I can make a buck at this. Or they're afraid to take on the marijuana industry. Talk to Dr. Stuart Reese about that, about taking on the marijuana industry. Talk about woke, you know, problems. So people are afraid, and I think that that's another reason that we want to do litigation, because when you're in court, you are the equal of the other side. You have equal rights. You can fight. You can go toe-to-toe with them. Most of my litigation in my life has been against big corporations. I sued Exxon. I sued Bank of America. I'm just as smart as their lawyers. You can go toe-to-toe, and you got legal tools. You can force them to answer questions. You get somebody that's a neutral third party to make the decisions. You can present evidence, and you have a chance to do that and to make your argument. You don't have that same forum in other places. And, you know, state legislatures let you talk for 2 minutes, 3 minutes. They schedule hearings when they know nobody's going to show up against it. Typically, they'll have a hearing on a Monday, and they'll put out a notice on Friday that there's going to be a hearing. Meanwhile, the sponsors of the bill have notified all the marijuana people to show up on Monday. So the legislators walk into the hearing, and there's 90 people there in favor of marijuana and nobody against it. I was at a hearing in New Jersey once where before people knew who I was, I went around and I talked to everybody. Hey, how you doing? Where are you from? There wasn't anybody there from New Jersey. They had gotten the word out and they had bussed people in. When they were doing it in New York, they had a pot restaurant up there that was giving people free lunches if they came up to lobby against it. So that's the kind of shenanigans that are going on here. And that's why I'm in favor of litigation, because you can go toe-to-toe. You can get heard. And most of the time, judges are fair. And most of the time, you have an equal chance to get your case heard. And you can go before a jury. who are people just like you that maybe didn't know this about marijuana. And you educate the jury. And I think that that's what's going to happen in a lot of these cases. They're going to go before juries. And, you know, we if we get before a jury in the Highland Park case, we're going to make a big glossy photo of that councilman giving us the finger, and we're going to put it right in front of the jury and say, this is what we're up against, ladies and gentlemen. I can't believe he's a professor of political science at a respectable university, and he gave me the finger when I was testifying. But this is the kind of stuff that goes on, that we have to get an end to it. We have to stand up. We have to fight against this.
Well, I think that your information that's on there, like the list of it's listed as other important documents on the CIVEL.org website, the civil.org site.
Yeah.
Underneath the your basic legal primer on marijuana and federal law, but you have categories of the victims of the marijuana industry, and that's a when you look at the category of victims, you think of obvious ones, but you don't think of grandparents, for instance. So when you look at that list, it's really comprehensive. So if you're wondering, I wonder if I'm in play here, you should look at the list. Marijuana as a medicine, policy side effects and specific illnesses, the failure of states to regulate marijuana, interactions between marijuana and other drugs, marijuana and violence, marijuana use and medical illness and brain damage, marijuana use and damage to human reproduction, and my favorite, concerns about CBD. That is really well written. I sent that to a relative here during the show because they were told, it's really great to help you sleep, and CBD is not dangerous, and it's not really got marijuana in it, blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, the FDA, if you go on the FDA website, go on the Internet, just put in FDA CBD warning letters, FDA CBD warning letters, and you'll come up with about 5 or 6 years of warning letters. And I think it's the one in 2015, they did a study. A lot of CBD products have THC in them and other problems. So you may be feeling great. There's a lawsuit in New York right now, our New York council. A truck driver was used CBD, was told there was no THC in it. He tested positive for THC in his drug test and lost his job as a truck driver, and he's now suing them for fraud because there's THC in it.
Did he lose his commercial driver's license?
He lost his commercial driver's license,
That's his lifestyle.
His career was ruined, and he sued under RICO, and I think now he's doing state fraud and so forth. So this is the kind of thing that's going on all over the United States. Children are committing suicide all over the United States, and people are misdiagnosing what's going on. Talking about the elderly and fall, I heard your PSA. Don't you think that getting older people marijuana is going to cause them to be more unsteady on their feet?
I'm
75 years old. I'm already unsteady on my feet, let alone if I was stoned. Okay? So these are all things that people don't think about. I have an elderly friend in an elderly, care facility in California. They've got a cannabis club there, And I'm thinking, oh, my God. But people just don't think marijuana. And, you look at the victims. We got children, and people in the marijuana industry are victims. They get exposed to all these contaminants and all the problems that in the manufacturing, the pesticides, and everything else. They're victims also. And hospitals, anybody that pays for medical care is a victim. Just like with tobacco, you gotta expand it all out. And in terms of tax money. Smart Approaches to Marijuana did research in Colorado, and they estimated that for every dollar they get from marijuana tax, they spend $4.50 on all the problems that it causes. And the taxing is a problem. In California right now, they're trying to get the tax reduced on marijuana because it makes it more expensive than the black market. And remember, marijuana legalization was supposed to end the black market, and it was supposed to end police dealing with marijuana. So now you have the marijuana companies in California asking for law enforcement to go and crack down on the illegal marijuana growers. And
surely
just left California. They can't make any money there because the price of marijuana is so low due to the black market.
Dave, we've got a couple minutes left. How would you like to do a summation today of what you've talked to us about? I mean, is there, you know, can you get
a one-minute closing argument. Yeah. Ding.
Yeah. Well, you're a litigator. He understands that. Give us your best. Where's this all going? Where do you see us in 5 years?
Well, I think if we're successful with the lawsuits and more science is coming out, I think people are starting to get the message. They're having a harder and harder time now getting stuff legalized. You know, it's a lot easier to fool somebody than it is to talk them out of admitting that they were fooled. And I think it's going to be, a tough job educating people. Marijuana is different from other drugs. Marijuana really takes somebody over body and soul. We have cannabinoid receptors throughout our whole body. And, you don't see heroin addicts or alcoholics advocating in state legislatures for legalization of anything. But marijuana addicts do, because getting rid of marijuana for them is an existential threat. And so we have a bunch of people that don't think clearly, who resort to violence and are hostile, and are addicted. And we're doing nothing about it except encouraging them. And I think that's all going to come out in time. Trump said it. The genetically engineered marijuana is a very dangerous drug. Even the senator from New Jersey is now acknowledging it, who's been a big pot advocate.
When he's not playing Spartacus. Little Cory Booker. Oh, my gosh. Dave Evans, it has been wonderful. I hope people will send this show to their friends and family. It'll be commercial-free later this afternoon. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?